limited English, and just like what I said this morning, with all the things that I have said tonight, I only have 15 minutes of English left in me. So we have to finish this message within 15 minutes. And if you have your Bibles with you, please open it in the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16, please bear with my English, please bear with my strong Filipino accent. 1 Samuel chapter 16, I will read verse 6 down through verse 11. If you found your place, please stand with me if you're able. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 6 down through verse 11. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen this. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Shall we pray? Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we just wanted to thank you for this time that we could gather together as one people. Thank you because of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. Thank you for saving us, and thank you for putting us into the ministry. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us tonight. I pray that you would continue to add blessing to your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church, bless Pastor and his family. I pray that you would continue to bless the desires of his heart to forward the ministry of this church. I pray, Lord, that you would continue also to bless each and every member of this church. Lord, thank you because this church is a mission-minded church. I pray that you would bless them according to their faithfulness and according to your love. To their love to you. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I speak. Lord, I am limited. I totally depend on you. So Lord, please hide me behind your cross. And may you be heard. May you be seen. Get all the glory, honor, and praise out of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You know, Israel, when God made Israel as a nation, the form of their government is theocracy. At first, they are theocracy. That means they are ruled by God. God rules the kingdom. But the people of Israel, they wanted a king. They asked Samuel to give them a king because the neighboring countries of Israel in this time, they have a king. They are led by a king. So they wanted a king for themselves as well. And the Lord said, Samuel, the people did not reject you. They rejected me as their God. They rejected me as their king. So the Lord said, give them a king and tell them the manner of the king that they will be getting. So in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel, you don't have to turn there, but I will tell you what Samuel said, what the Lord said. He said, tell them this. This will be the manner of the king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. In verse 11 of chapter 8, it says here, he will take your sons. And in verse 13, it says here, he will take your daughters. In verse 14, it says, he will take your fields. In verse 15, it says, he will take the tenth of your seed. In verse 16, it says, he will take your manservant. In verse 17, he will take the tenth of your sheep. And in verse 18, it says here, and ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. You know, my friends, you know, Christians, that's the same way to us as Christians. You know, our Christian life is supposed to be led by the Lord. The king of our hearts, the king of our life is supposed to be the Lord. And if you would take out and replace that place in your heart, the place of God in your heart, with every different things in this world, make sure that I will make sure to you that that is a device of the devil. And if you would make other than God your king, that thing will take everything from you. It will take your love to prayer. It will take your desire for the word of God. It will take your desire for the fellowship. It will take your desire for the church. And at the end, just like what the Bible says, you will end up seeing yourself crying because you have replaced God as the king of your life. It won't take out your salvation, but it will surely take out the joy of your salvation. And in chapter 15, God commanded Saul to destroy the Amalekites and everyone and everything, but Saul spared Agag, the king, and the best of the animals. So because of that, the Lord rejected Saul as king of Israel. Now we come to this chapter, chapter 16. The Lord said, anoint the next king. He told Samuel to anoint the next king. So David is the eighth son of Jesse, and he made to pass these seven sons, and the Lord said, this is not he. So they called for a, when Samuel looks for the chosen of God, David was not there. So in verse 11, Samuel said, are here all thy children? And he said, and the Jesse said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him. And this is where we will get our study tonight, for we will not sit down till he come hither. We will not sit down until he comes. You know, at this story, we can see the same situation in the life of the Christian. Because here they are, there is Samuel, there is Jesse, there is the seven sons of Jesse, and they are waiting for the coming king. They are waiting for the next king of Israel. They are waiting for David. And Samuel said, we will not sit down until he comes. I don't know what they are doing, but one thing I'm sure that what they're going to, they will prepare for the coming of David. They will prepare for the coming of David. And that's what we should be doing as we wait for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should be preparing ourselves for the coming of the King. Number one, we will prepare ourselves. And how are we going to prepare ourselves? We will make sure that we are saved. We will make sure that we are saved. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. You know, my friends, I want you to search your heart tonight. Was there a time in your life when you found yourself a sinner before a holy God, and you found yourself headed to that place called hell? I found myself headed to that place called hell in the Tuesday night, March 14, 1995. And that time I made the decision to trust Jesus Christ and to put my faith in Him as my Lord and personal Savior. Have you done that in your life before? Have you seen yourself headed to that place and helpless and needed the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? If you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior yet, I strongly suggest you settle it tonight. I strongly suggest you make sure that you are prepared at the coming of the Lord. You make sure that you are saved. Second thing, in preparing ourselves, we need to make sure that we are serving. We need to make sure that we are serving. In the book of Mark, chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, it says, therefore, the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. You know, this verse is telling us that when Jesus Christ returns, we don't know what is the date, what is the time of the coming of Jesus Christ. When He returns, nobody knows. Nobody is expecting. I mean, nobody can predict when He will come, what is the exact date. So we need to be sure that we are always prepared, that we are always doing our duty. You know, if we would study Matthew chapter number 25, the parable of the talents, those three servants. You know, they The Lord gave one 5 talents. The Lord gave one 2 talents. The Lord gave one talent. And at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, He calls them one by one. What's that telling us? That is telling us that we have individual accountability to the Lord. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, it doesn't matter if your family is serving. It doesn't matter if your church is moving forward for the Lord. It doesn't matter if your father is singing in the choir. It doesn't matter if your son goes to the Sunday school. What matters is what you are doing in the sight of God, what you are doing for the Lord when He returns. Is He going to find you serving? You know, most Christians, especially in the Philippines, they said, I'm already a member of the choir and the pastor is telling me to go out on visitation and the pastor is telling me to go out in a Wednesday evening and pray with them, and he wants us to teach Sunday school, he wants us to teach outside and pass out gospel tract and teach the kids, and he wants us to give our tithe, he wants us to give our offering. The Lord is taking it all. But if you would study Matthew chapter number 25, what servant did the Lord bless? Is it the unfaithful servant, or was it the faithful servant? Didn't God bless the faithful servant, the one that did what the Lord has commanded him to do? Let's make sure that at the coming of Jesus Christ, we are still serving. We are still on our post. We are still doing our duty. When the Lord comes back and find us not serving, we cannot say, Lord, wait. Don't come back yet. I haven't prayed enough. Don't come back yet. I haven't read the word enough. Don't come back yet. I haven't win more souls enough. Don't come back yet. I haven't done enough. No, you cannot say that. When the Lord returns, He returns. So let's make sure that we are serving. Let's prepare ourselves. Secondly, first we will prepare ourselves. Secondly, we will prepare others at the coming of Jesus Christ. And how are we going to do that? Number one, we will go. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. And why should we go? Number one, because of heaven. Because there is no other best place where a person should go than heaven. That's what I believe. I believe that with all my heart. Because in heaven, there is no sorrow. In heaven, there is no pain. In heaven, there is no more utility bills. There's no more debts in heaven, you know. You know, we will go because we will go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ because we wanted our family, we wanted our friends, we wanted our loved ones to experience that blessed time when we will all be forever with the Lord. Because of heaven, let's go. And not only that, because of hell. Do you know that in the book of the gospel, if you would follow the life of Jesus Christ preached more about hell. He made reference more about hell than heaven. You know, because hell is a real place and real people go there. You know, statistics says that there is 1.67 people die each second. That means there is 96 people that dies per minute, 5,760 people per hour, 138,240 people per day, 4,147,200 people dies per night. You know, just the course of this service tonight, after this service, there is 10,000 people that is going to eternity. You know, day after day, the border of hell is getting larger and larger, and we have to do something about it. We have to go because of heaven, because of hell, and because of Him, because we are commanded by Christ. You know, I believe if the official of this city would tell us to do something for the Sito or for him, I believe we would do it. We would probably do it as fast as we can and as best as we can. Well, let me tell you, the one that is commanding us to go is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We should go because of Him. Not only that, because they are helpless, because they are devoted in what they believe. That's why we are going to the Philippines, because those people are helpless. They are devoted in what they believe, but they are deceived. They are sincere and sincerely wrong. They are blind and they are headed to hell. They are helpless, and because we are their only help. You know, our responsibility to preach the gospel is great. You know, if baptism is one of the way to go to heaven, our responsibility to preach is not that great. If doing good works is one of the way to go to heaven, our responsibility is not that great. If being a church member is one of the way, our responsibility to preach is not that great. But Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ did not say, I am one of the way. No, he said, I am the way. There is only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. That way is the way that we know. That way is the way that we put our faith upon. That way is the way that we are holding in our very hands. And we have the great responsibility to preach the gospel. We are going to prepare people by going out. Not only we will go, secondly, we will give. If you would turn with me, please, in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And please bear with me, we will be looking several passages of scriptures here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Have you found it? The Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Let us put in mind, let us keep in our mind that Solomon wrote this book. That means the one that wrote this book is the wisest person on earth next to Jesus Christ. He's the one who wrote this. He said, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. And we will look at two words in this verse, bread and waters. Bread and waters. Now, bread pictures Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. And bread pictures the word of God. It speaks about the manna. In Psalms chapter 78, but also let's look at 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 12. It says here, and she said, this is the story of the widow in Zarephath and Elijah. It says here, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, this is the woman, the widow, speaking to Elijah, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel. Handful of meal, that's flour, and a little oil, that's oil, in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That cake means a piece of bread. So there's the flour, there's the oil, you mix it, you put it in the oven, you make bread. You make a bread out of it. And it says there that after eating this bread, they will die. That means this is the source of their living. The bread is the source of their living in the Old Testament. It is the thing that keeps them alive. It is the source of their living. But now in our time, it is no longer flour. You don't say, I don't have flour, I'm dying. You know, in our days, it is the money, it is the finances that we call the source of living. It is the secularly speaking. Now let's look at the next word. It says water. You know, in the Bible, water pictures Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as the living water. When Jesus Christ met the woman in the well, he says, I am the living water in John chapter 4. And also let's turn our Bibles in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. And I will read two verses. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, it says here, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that seateth upon many waters. Many waters. And it is explained in verse 15. It says there, 17, chapter 17, verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sowest, where the war seated, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. The water pictures peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. It is with S. That means different kind of people. Different kind of people. Now, there we get our text, cast thy bread upon the waters. This verse, I believe, pictures world mission. This verse explains world mission. It says, cast thy bread upon many waters. And then the next word says, for thou shalt find it after many days. It says, cast your bread, cast your source of living. Give money to missions. And then after many days, thou shalt find it. Are you saying, Pastor, that after a month, I will open my eyes and there it is, the money that I gave to mission is there sitting beside me? No. Remember, it's Solomon that wrote this. So I brought our breakfast with us. I would like to try and illustrate I will share you some of our breakfast. This is good. This is honey. This is with honey with. And what I'm trying to do is to cast the water. Cast the bread to the water. So here's the bread. You are the water. The people. Cast your source of living to the people. Then the Bible says, thou shalt find it after many days. So, watch out. Watch out. It will be flying, okay? So I cannot hand it to you because it says cast. All right? I feel bad. I don't want to hit anybody. I think I'll come closely. There you go. Here you go. We're doing it. We're doing what the Bible says. Cast your bread upon the waters. There you go, sir. Sir, I'm casting to you. Pastor, I'm casting to you. There you go. Here, sir. Cast thy bread upon the waters. And then the Bible says, thou shalt find it after many days. You know, when we go to heaven, I believe it speaks of heaven. That after many days, it speaks of heaven. You know, a day for the Lord may mean 1,000 days for us. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. I believe that when we go to heaven, we will see the bread that we cast upon the waters. We will see the finances that we give to mission. But it will not be in the form of money. You know why? Because we don't need money in heaven. We will be walking in the streets of gold. We will be entering in the gates of pearl. And each one of us have a mansion in heaven. You will not need money. But what is the Bible is saying here, cast thy bread upon the waters and thou shalt find it after many days. You will find your bread, you will find your money in the form of people. You will find your money in the form of people. I believe when we all get to heaven, just like what the song said, people will start walking to you, different kinds of people. You know, as you see American people in heaven, I believe you will see those brown-skinned, skinny Filipinos in heaven. And Pastor, when I go to heaven, I will shake your hand. When we go to heaven, I will tell our people to line behind me. We will shake your hand. We will shake your hand, Pastor. And we will tell you, thank you for giving to the Lord. Thank you for casting your bread to the Philippines. We will give. That's what the Bible says, cast thy bread upon the waters. For thou shalt find it after many days. You may not see it today. You might not see the outcome of what you are doing in supporting missionaries today. But after many days, you will see the result of it. Not only that, we will not only go, we will not only give, we will pray. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, without praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Here is the, I believe, the greatest missionary, church planting missionary in earth, Apostle Paul, asking prayers. He said, without praying also for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, he said, brethren, pray for us. Apostle Paul asking prayers to the saints. You know, in the medieval days, there are swordsmen and there are bowmen. And they say that the swordsmen are these pastors, these missionaries that go in the front lines, that do the battle in the field. But behind these swordsmen are the bowmen. You know, these bowmen will, before the swordsmen attack and penetrate the other side, this bowman is shooting their arrows, trying to soften the line of the enemy. And what I'm trying to say tonight is, would you be our bowman tonight? As we go in the front lines, as we go in the field, as we go fight the battle in winning souls for Jesus Christ, would you shoot your arrows for us? Would you pray for us? That's what I meant. Would you pray for us so that when we go out, when we knock on doors, when we talk to these people, their hearts are already prepared to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, pray for us. This is what you're going to pray. That the word of the Lord may have free course. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Pray for the word. And it says, in be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Pray for the workers. And it says there, for all men have not faith. Pray for the world. So when you kneel down and pray, pray for us, pray for the word, pray for the workers, and pray for the world. As I close this message, we will go back to our text. It says there, we will not sit down until He comes. We will not sit down until our Savior, Jesus Christ, comes. We will prepare ourselves and we will prepare others by going, by giving, and by praying. May God bless us all. Thank you very much, Pastor.